Did you guys enjoy that rain last night? That was, and this morning, I know. I left my sprinklers on because I thought, oh, that wasn't enough rain, and then it rained again last night. So Alon is very happy this morning. God is good. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you that every day is a new day. Every day is a day that we can see your glory and your love for us. Thank you, Father, for your word and your desire for us to know you, to be close to you, to know everything that's in your heart. So, Father, bless this teaching and let your word come out and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Somebody else has probably said this, but I don't know, it kind of popped into my head the other day. If you don't fear God, you will fear man. And if you fear God, you will have no fear of man. And that, right now, it's everything seems like it's crazy, but it doesn't really matter because God's in control. So we don't have to have any fear of man. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said it was interesting that all that's going on, and the Christians seem so complacent. And I don't think we're complacent. I think we just trust God, so we're not really worried about it. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to save the world. We just have to do what God tells us to do. And if we do what God tells us to do, then God will save the world. So we can't do everything. And I find myself trying to figure out how to do everything at one time, and that's impossible. So just do what God has put in front of you, because he has the big picture. So I'm going to teach on the fear of the Lord today. But I'm actually going to start in Matthew 25 and read the parable of the talents. For it is as if a man going abroad called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one indeed he gave 5 talents, and the other 2, and the other 1, to each accordingly to his ability. And actually in the Greek it doesn't say servants, it says slaves. And I think there's a big distinction between a servant and a slave. This is just kind of a side note. A servant still has to take care of themselves, whereas a slave, the master does everything. He feeds them, clothes them, gives them shelter. So when we're slaves of Jesus or God, God gives us everything we need to do everything we need. We don't ever have to worry about anything. We don't have to save our money and pay for stuff, because God will pay for it all. So, and he went abroad at once. And going, the one who received 5 talents worked with them and made another 5 talents. And in the same way, the one that had 2 also did, and he gained another 2. But going away, the one who received 1 dug a hole in the earth and hid the Lord's silver. And after much time, the Lord of those slaves came and took account of them. And coming up, the one who received 5 talents brought another 5 talents. Near, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained another 5 talents above them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things, and I will set you over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And the one who received 2 talents, coming up also said, Lord, you delivered 2 talents to me. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents above them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And the one who received 1 talent also coming up, he said, Lord, I knew you and that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And being afraid and going away, I hid your talent in the earth. And behold, you have yours. Answering, his Lord said unto him, evil and slothful slave, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow, and I gathered where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have put my silver at least to the bankers, and coming would have received my own interest. Therefore, take this talent from him and give it to him who hath 10 talents. For to each who has, more will be given, and he will abound. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken from him. And throw the worthless slave out into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not going to talk about this yet, but I have many thoughts about this story or this parable. I always thought it was, I always thought the guy with the two talents should have gotten the extra talent. But anyway, I thought, you know, the other guy has 10 already, and this guy only has 4. Give him the 1, and then he can have another 5. So, as we get older, we think of stuff we can't do. Because you say, I'm too old, or I have too much responsibility, I have to be too cautious, life is too comfortable, why mess that up? You know, it's when God tells you to do something, you can think of a lot of excuses why not to do it. And it's fun to watch young people, to even my daughter, or even when I was a youth pastor, to watch the young people, because the whole world is opportunity to them, and they don't see that things are going to slow them down. They have no idea that what life is going to throw at them. Everything is still amazing. And they have the whole world ahead of them. You know, there's nothing going to stop their dreams. Nothing is unsurmountable. And what in life happens that changes that mindset? You know, why do we as older adults all of a sudden be afraid to try things and do things? For those of us who have been here a while, life teaches us our shortcomings through our downfalls. And it's funny, in business, people will start to give me their address or phone number or whatever, and I'll say, oh, no, text it to me. And they'll say, well, why? I say, well, because if I write it down on a piece of paper, I'll lose it. And they'll go, oh. I said, I already know that about myself, and so I'm just using wisdom telling you, do not have me write it down because I will lose it, and then we'll never hear each other from each other again. So just text it to me, and then it'll be permanently in my phone. So this, in turn, we feel makes us wise and cautious. What it really does is makes us confident in our own wisdom, and our own life lessons produce this cautiousness and fear, causing us to miss God's plan for our lives. I'm not saying wisdom isn't important, because it is. And, you know, we learn things in life that keep us from doing other dumb things. But I know that in my own life, cautiousness can keep me from stepping out when God tells me to step out. And it comes from that lack of fear of God. And when, I'm going to get to it in a minute, but the fear is not fear like we think of fear. Fear like, because the fear from the devil and fear from God are two different things. And the devil likes to muddy things up and make us feel like that they're the same. Let's see. I believed that God would give us a baby. You know, you guys all know our story. You know, we tried for 16 years, and I knew, even though my life experience told me that we were never going to have a baby. I mean, that wasn't reality. It wasn't happening. It didn't happen. I can't even tell you the countless people that prayed for us. We probably had hundreds of people physically pray for us, and probably thousands of people that just prayed for us that we didn't know. And it never happened. But I never doubted God, because God can do anything. And when the doctor said, well, you have a 5% chance, my wife and I were excited, because there was a chance. you said 5%. That's not zero. So we need to learn to listen to the Father and not rely on our own wisdom when making decisions. We can reason things out, and there's nothing wrong with that, because God made us and we have the ability to reason. But I make decisions all the time based on my own life experience, but God is the final answer. I see that in life, and when trying to figure things out, I think the worst thing we can do is try to figure it out in our own minds. And it always boils down to, when I get to the end of it, I end up praying about it. And so I started getting to the point where I would just pray about it first, because I'm like, why waste all this time trying to figure it out in my own mind? I'll just pray about it first and just get to the end. You know, that was like when I was young and other kids didn't like their parents. And I thought, well, my parents, God gave me my parents, and they must be doing what's right for me. So I'm just going to skip all the rebellion part and just go straight to obeying my parents, because that's where I'm going to end up. So why fight through all this turmoil to get to the end part, which is me knowing that my parents have more wisdom than me? That was God that gave that to me. That was not my own knowledge and wisdom. So talking to God and running it by him is not only wisdom, but it's prudence. When you want to know something, how something works, you always go ask the inventor. And we have access to our creator 24/7. It is awesome that we can just, I don't know if you guys have ever talked to him in your dreams, but sometimes when bad things happen in my dreams, have you guys ever cried out to Jesus in your dreams? Jesus, help me! And it's weird because, you know, you shouldn't be afraid in your dreams. It's a dream, but sometimes they feel so real. And it is, it's true, and Jesus will even help you in your dreams. So, it's just a blessing to have the fear of the Lord, because it's not fear like the devil wants us to think of fear. It is a peace and a joy and strength and courage. And when you understand and reverence somebody, you know that they are wiser than you, and that you can put your trust in them. And when we're talking about God, we're talking about the guy that's the wisest of all. I mean, he created everything. He made all the rules, and he set it up. So, I mean, why not trust in the guy that set everything up? So I wanted to study this phrase, the fear of the Lord. And in my heart, I knew my earthly definition of fear was probably wrong. So how can I fear the one that made me? And that was my questioning, my understanding of fear. Because you don't want to fear God. I mean, I don't fear my parents. You know, they brought me into this world, and why would I fear God? And so I started digging into what it was to fear. There are a lot of verses that tell us what happens if we do or do not fear the Lord. But Proverbs 8:13 tells us what it is to actually fear the Lord. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. I, meaning wisdom, hate pride and loftiness and the evil way and the perverse mouth. Oddly enough, I find myself hating evil. I hate some things more than others, evil things, but I know that that is God in me hating the evil. So you see in life as you grow the fruit. I think a lot of people think, well, here's something I have to do, but really it's just God giving you a little map or a little key going, when it happens, here's what you're going to see. You'll hate evil. You know, you'll love your neighbor. And it's not a command. It's a little key that says, as you grow up, this is what you're going to start seeing. This is what I'm doing in you. This is how you'll know that I'm working in you. Because you could say, oh, God, I don't feel like I've grown up at all. And then you'll start seeing these old things, and you're like, oh, you are perfecting me like you said you would. I am born in sin, and sin was my nature, but I am now righteous in Christ. Some may see the phrase, hate evil, as a work, but I see it as a fruit of God working in me. God tells me that he will complete that work he began in me. He is in me to will and to do. That is such a comforting thing, because we like to do things under our own power, and we can't. And so to know that he's going to do it in me and through me, it's just such a relaxing phrase, you know, that we can trust God, that he's going to do it in us and through us and use us. And because when I start talking about I'll get into it in a minute. So when I see myself hating sin, I know God is killing my flesh and he is perfecting me. I still have a bad habit of enjoying video games. So, and Mary goes, will that ever end? I'm like, I don't know. It may one day. God may take that away from me. But it's odd because God shows me things through them, which is stupid because, you know, it's just dumb things of this world. But I have one that I really enjoy. You drive cars around and you kick a soccer ball around, and it's just silly, but it's fun. I don't know why. I enjoy it because it's very physics-oriented. The other night, I had the epiphany that I need to focus on what I can control and not worry about everything else around me. So as you play this game, there's other people, and they're doing all sorts of stuff. And if you start focusing on the other people, then you can't do well. So you have to focus on what you're doing And that's the way it is with God. You have to just focus on God, and you can't worry about everything else that's around you. Because if you worry about everything else that's around you, you get bogged down, and you become the devil's kind of fearful instead of the God's kind of fearful, you know. And you lose focus on what God has for you. And so my walk should be this way, that what I can control is to allow God to kill my flesh, and I should surrender. It's hard to do, but I know when I say, God, I surrender, do with me what you will, immediately fear, the devil's kind of fear, is going to pop up in my mind. I'll say, what if God asks me to, I don't know, sell my house and give everything away, or what if God, like Danny did, but I don't think God asked him to do that. I think he just did that because it was in the scripture. What if God tells me to move to Africa, or what if God tells me to, but the scripture says, if you ask of your father for bread, is he going to give you a scorpion or a stone? God's desire is always to bless you. So that fear that God's going to do something, if I tell God, God, take every bit of me, take it all, and do with me what you will, you can get rid of the fear that he might do something crazy, because he probably will do something crazy, but it's going to be awesome. And this, whatever you're holding on to that you're afraid to let go of, will be nothing. I mean, you won't even care anymore. I know as I grow up, it's funny, as you're young, things that are important to you, and as you get older, you go, why was that ever important? And then as you get older, you're like, why was that? And as you get older and older, you just see in life what things are important, what things really aren't. I know when I was in late high school and college, I always thought, man, I want to be rich, and I want to have a big house, and I want to have lots of money. And then you start to realize how unimportant that is. I mean, it would be nice to have lots of money, but it's not joy. There's no life in that. It just makes life a little easier, but there's still no joy in it. You see so many wealthy people that are not happy, and you see so many poor people that are happy. So it's because, they know Jesus. Getting back to Proverbs 8, wisdom hates pride. Going back to my parable of the talents, I let my fear of being proud cause me to hide my talents. And it was so funny. I've heard people say stories of things like I know my mom, she had something that happened to her when she was young, and it kind of drove her entire life. And I think when I was young, I thought to myself, I am never going to be proud. I am not going to let anything that I do, I'm not going to be proud about it. And it was funny because I would say, I would do a landscape for somebody or something, and somebody would say, oh, this is beautiful. I would say, well, it's just the gift that God gave me, and I would immediately do that. But then I also found myself hiding things that I didn't want to be proud about, that God gave me gifts and that I should use, and I would hide those because I knew that if I did them, I would be proud, and that was wrong. And that's the devil. The devil was keeping me from using the talents and the gifts that God gave me. I was burying them. I buried my one talent. God has given me more than one, but I buried my talent in the ground, and later I'll hand it back to God. Here's this talent you gave me. God will be like, you didn't even use it. I mean, I gave it for you to use and multiply. So the other day when God brought the parable to mind, I realized that I thought of myself as the man with the two talents. I can't be the guy with the five talents. I'm not that good. I'm not that amazing. I'm just the guy with the two talents. And then sometimes I have a fear that I'm actually the guy with the one talent. And I don't want to be that guy, but am I that guy? And then I realized God wants me to realize that he has put in me the guy to be the five talents guy. That's me. I have that power of God in me to be the guy that has the five talents. Why am I selling myself short to be the two-talent guy, or the fear to be the one-talent guy, when God has really designed me to do mighty things in his name? I mean, he's in me to will and to do. And if he's in me to will and to do, I can do mighty things. You guys can all do mighty things. I won't let fear rule me. Fear does not rule me. I am a child of God and will do mighty works because I will die to myself and let him do it through me because I am his vessel. I am tired of seeing myself as second best and second rate. I am beloved. I am amazing. I can do whatever God puts before me because I am dead to this world and alive in Christ. The next thing the verse talks about, Proverbs 8, is arrogance or loftiness. Pride, I never really had a problem with. I was afraid of it, but arrogance and loftiness, I'm not arrogant and I'm not lofty. You know, I don't think of myself as more than others. It's probably true, but probably not. I mean, it's a lie from the devil. The devil, you know, I don't want to be. Anyway, I'm gonna keep going. So, I know I have arrogance come out of me from time to time. The problem with arrogance is it gives you a false sense of superiority, and I know that God has shown me times in my life when it's happened. We are all equal in the sight of God, and we all stand before God's white throne of judgment. So, all in the end, nobody is any more superior than anybody else. You know, the rich or the poor, we're all equal. And society is kind of all torn apart right now because of people segregating themselves into different categories, thinking one is better than the other. We are covered in his blood. We are either covered in his blood or we have blood on our hands. So that's, you know, those are the, we're going to be covered in the blood because we accepted Jesus as our Savior. Arrogance keeps us from being a teacher or a counselor. It puffs up our head and it makes us coarse and demeaning. We should have compassion and a desire to lead with a humbleness that gives a humbleness and give of ourselves. Our cups are running over and our abundance comes from the Father. So we may have more knowledge and more experience in some area of our life than someone else, but that is no reason to be angry or frustrated when you have to deal with that person. I've been landscaping for 20 plus years and doing other things, and sometimes I'll do a big job and I need to hire help, and the help is never at my level, ever. And at first that would be frustrating, but then, sorry, my mouth is dry. It'd be frustrating, but then I realized I could either complain and gripe about this, probably to myself. I would never. I'm the type of person that when I go into a store, and if they treat me wrong, I will never tell them. I'll just walk out and never go back there again. That's the type of person I am. I don't raise a ruckus, so I would probably never tell the person you're doing a lousy job. I would just never hire them again, which is actually not good because people need to know if they're not doing it right. So, you need to help them and guide them. So I can either complain to myself or to them, or I can offer them guidance. Complaining and anger never help. It just clouds your mind, and it causes you not to see what God is doing. And it's true. I know that, when you're complaining, you're looking at your circumstances. When you're angry, your emotions are controlling you, and so you're not clear minded. You don't have clear thoughts. And so you can't use wisdom and you can't, you know, relax and see what needs to be done. I know in the past that people have taught me little things and how I've been able to expand on that. So from this lesson, thank you, brother. I have things that were taught to me, and I've taken them and grown with that, and I can do many things more because of that, because someone wise and compassionate taught me, and they didn't get upset with me, they didn't get annoyed with me, they spent time to teach me and to help me along with that. God is this way. We have so much to learn from him, and the more we learn, the more we see God's design and his desire and his love and his wisdom. I love the Old Testament. It's odd how God, I'll be mowing the lawn and God will bring things to me while I'm mowing the lawn. I guess because you're just stuck out there, you know, mowing the lawn, and there's he can't talk to anybody because his equipment's loud and everything. And he'll bring Old Testament stories to mind. And it's fun because what I love about the Old Testament is it's about trusting God. Daniel, like Daniel in the lion's den, you know, the king said, you know, the king's rulers made up laws that said you can only worship the king. And Daniel was like, you know, I trust God. I'm going to worship God. Whatever happens, I'm worshiping God. And, of course, we all know that, you know, they threw him into the lion's den. And the lions were just, you know, gentle kittens that whole night. And then, you know, the king came the next morning and he found Daniel there. And he's like, wow, your God must be God. And the best part of the story is when they chucked the bad guys into the lions and they ate them all up. But the kid stories always leave that part out. We like our enemies to get it, even though God wants us to pray for our enemies. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, that would have been a tough one. Again, they trusted God, and they were going to go through the furnace. And they went all the way up to the furnace, and they got in. And then nothing happened. I mean, that must have been incredible. I mean, I can't even imagine walking through fire and coming out and not even smelling like smoke when they came out the other end. But they said, we're going to do what God wants us to do to the death. And God said, I have other plans for you, so there's no death today. You know, so we... And then David and Goliath. David is a good example of a young man who doesn't know better. Just trust God completely. God, hey, God, help me to defeat this bear and this lion, so why can't I take on this guy that's three times my size? I don't even know how Saul let him out there. I thought that was ridiculous. I mean, that had to be God kind of working in Saul's mind, because I wouldn't have said, hey, I'm a kid, I can take Goliath. I'd have been like, sure, here's the whole nation at your hands. Go ahead and take on Goliath. But, you know, that was God. God does awesome stuff like that. And those stories are there to prove to us that we can't even imagine what God is going to do. So we just need to fear him, which is to, you know, accept his rule and to know that whatever the situation, he is going to take care of it. And there's also Abraham. Abraham was like, I like Abraham's story. It's like Mary and I's story. The guy wanted to have a kid and it didn't happen. And then this was even more incredible because he was really old and not ever going to happen. And God said, you're going to have a baby. And then he didn't. He trusted God and then didn't trust God, and then he had to trust God again, because, you know, then he had Ishmael, and that had all that fun in the Middle East that's going on nowadays. So, but God loves all those people. He loves us. And then we read these stories, but we forget how precious life is to us. It's fun as a kid. I mean, you see how amazing they are, but I mean, these people were willing to give up their lives for God. To the death. I mean, years ago I went to the Alamo, and it never really had much meaning to me. I knew that they fought and everything, but I don't know why. Something touched me years ago, and I realized that all those men gave up their life, their breath, so that we could be free to worship God here in Texas. I mean, and it was like, that's the way these people were in the Bible. They were willing to give up their life, everything that they had. They would never see their family again. You know, they were gone. They were willing to do that. You know, these people are willing to do that for God because they trust God enough that whether God saves them or not, like Stephen, God didn't save Stephen, but, you know, it wasn't painful, and then Stephen went to be with God. But Stephen is a great martyr. You know, people can see he loved God and he died for God. You know, so I mean, not every story has a happy ending like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, but they all still trusted God that no matter what, God was going to come through. Their lives were precious to them, and yet they trusted God with their life, knowing full well that might be their final breath. In my mind, I know that God tells me to do something, and I feel it is dangerous. God has either created me a safety net. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's one of my favorite. I think it's probably many, many people's favorites. So, but it's, you know, I'm not going to fear evil. I don't have to fear this world. So God will always create a way out. Even if I die, he can raise me from the dead. I thought of that. I thought, you know, I mean, God can do what he wants. You know, he raised Lazarus from the dead. I can never know what he has in mind. I just need to trust him completely. I need to do what I can, and that is to trust God and just be a vessel, letting God take care of all the rest. So like that game, I have to realize just to focus on God. You know, just focus on what I can do, and that's just trusting God, letting go, not doing it on my own. The last part of the verse talks about the perverse or froward mouth. I think I know what words mean. Actually, I don't remember what it was, but Mary and I looked up. We heard a word in one of Gabby's shows the other day, and we're like, that's not what that word means. And we looked it up, and we're like, it is what that word means. So I think I know what words mean, and then I have to look them up and find that I don't always completely understand what they mean. But a froward means perverse, that is turning from with adverse or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply, ungovernable, disobedient, peevish. I like that word, peevish. So a froward mouth. We don't want to have a froward mouth. This one, you can get into trouble with, especially nowadays with social media. You can have a froward mouth and then cause a whole storm of stuff to happen. I found myself writing stuff and then deleting it. I do that. I advise you, if you guys write stuff on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, write it and then let it set. Then come back later and read it and then go, yeah, I should probably delete that. So it was just meant for your mind only. God in his wisdom has given me the wisdom to hold my tongue many times. I know as a child I had to learn to trust my parents because they had my best interest at heart, but I didn't always believe that. I can say that I didn't really have a perverse mouth with my parents, because I can say I was unequivocally that I was sneaky and devious with the appearance of agreeing to do what my parents wanted. So fearing God, fearing my parents, is not fear like I'm afraid of a lion. It's an understanding and a reverence that they have years of wisdom and an understanding that I have not obtained yet. I was with a customer the other day, and she kept telling me that she was 79. I'm not really sure why, but she was like, and then she told me later that she had a little bit of dementia, and I was like, okay, so maybe that was why, because she kept telling me that she was 79. But she had a beautiful yard. Very well landscaped. I was out there fixing her sprinklers, and I was talking to her about some of the plants. I noticed there was this giant pine tree in the yard, and I said, well, did you plant that slash pine? She goes, yeah, I planted it. It was a little bitty, and she was telling me about, she had another one, and the neighbor was complaining, so she cut it down and everything. And then I realized that she has 34 years on me. I'm about to be 45 in about a week and a half. And that I could learn a lot from her. We think we're wise in our own learning and our own understanding. Hey, I mean, this is my field. I'm a horticulturist. I have a degree in this. You're just a lady who planted a garden. But she has 34 more years of experience than I do. She knows way more things that she's come in contact with way more things than I have in my life. And so I realized that is the way with God. God created the world. He knows the ins and outs of it. We just need to trust him and look at him and fear him and reverence him, because he has all the knowledge and we don't have to struggle. I mean, we, for some reason as humans, we love to struggle and strife. And I find myself, again, going back to games and things like that, when they start to get too hard, I'm like, this isn't even real life. Why am I doing this to myself? And that's the way it is with God. They're like, why am I creating so much struggle for myself when I should just be in God's rest and God's peace and just trust him and just reverence him and fear him? There are a lot of really good verses in the Bible about fear. Job 28:28 is one of them that says, "And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and is departing from evil, is understanding." So the fear of the Lord is wisdom, because we understand that God has our best interest at heart. And so it's just wise to stop fighting that. And then departing from evil is understanding. God has given me the wisdom because I trust him, and he said, this is evil, so depart from it. And you can understand that. You can see it. It's visible. A lot of the people today, you're like, how they don't know God, so they are totally doing evil. I'm like, how can you not understand what you're doing is evil? And you speak to them, or you speak to other people, and they totally justify it. I'm like, your mind is blown. But then you see that they don't fear God. They have no fear of God. They don't understand God. They don't understand his word. And so they're using their own reasoning and their own mind and their own intellect. Because if you don't fear God, you're going to fear man. The fear of the Lord, or Jehovah, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I don't know, maybe that's the verse I heard when I was a little kid and I decided to trust my parents. Because, I don't want to be a fool. So I did not want to despise wisdom and instruction. Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God and walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And you think, oh man, there's a lot of stuff we have to do again. But again, God has already given us, he's in us to will and to do. So he's doing all that through us. Whenever you find something in the Bible and it feels like it's something to do, you got to remember that he's doing it in you and he's doing it through you. And even if you're not doing it well right now, he will perfect you in that way. And later on in life, you'll say, oh, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Woohoo! I'm doing it. So, and his mercy, Luke 1, verse 50, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Man, I love mercy. Mercy is good. When I've done wrong, first thing I do is ask God, God, cover that. That was stupid. Please cover that. And he does. He covers it. You say something ridiculous to you'll say something ridiculous to a person, you're like, Lord, please let them not have heard that I just said that, or let them interpret it a different way, or cover it, and he will. He does. I love these last two verses. "Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want for them that fear him." I mean, that's powerful. Why the one reason why you'd want to fear God, to trust him, to reverence him, you will want for nothing, because you won't be in your own strength, in your own burden, your own, knowledge. You'll be using his knowledge. I was going to make a Google reference. God is our Google. So he knows everything, and we can go to him for anything. We can search anything through him, and he has the answer. Google has nothing on him. So the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it, shall abide satisfied and shall not be visited with evil. That's another awesome one. I mean, I don't like being visited with evil. So, fear the Lord. I think God gives us wisdom, and I think sometimes God gives us wisdom and we don't listen, and then something happens and we go, yeah, you told me not to do that, and it wasn't because I shouldn't do it. It was because you knew this, thus and so, was going to happen. So you were already warning me ahead of time to back off, and I didn't listen to you. And I can't think of anything specific, but I know in my mind that's happened to me times in my life when God told me specifically not to do something, and I went and did it, and something ridiculous happened. I thought, I should have listened to you. So should have listened to the Holy Spirit. So fearing God is not fear like the devil wants us. Fear, the devil puts a fear onto you that your bones hurt and you can't think straight and you are just a mess. But God, the fear of God is peace and strength and courage, because you understand who he is and you understand what he wants for you. It's just like your parents. Your parents want to bless you and they want the best for you. And, you know, I said this before. I had a guy, I told this to a guy one time. I said, you know, it says, honor your parents and your, you know, life will be long. And I said, that was just God telling us that our parents are wise and we should listen to them. And that's why we're going to have long life, because we listen to our parents. And he goes, no, it was the first scripture with a gift. You can't say that. That's sacrilege. I'm like, God is so practical. He was saying, listen to your parents and you'll live longer. I don't know if that's true, but that, to me, that's how it translates in my head. Listen to your parents and you'll live longer. Listen to God and you'll live longer, because he has wisdom. You know, you can not fall into a lot of these pitfalls. I think that is a promise. You listen to your parents and you'll live longer. So God is amazing. He can come touch you when you're not seeking him. He can bless you when you are seeking him. Never feel like you're anywhere in your life where God can't use you. You could sin one moment and God could use you to bless a person the next moment. Don't put God in a box thinking you have anything to do with it. Oh, I'm not ready, or I'm not worthy, or whatever. You know, God said, you know, the stones will cry out. God used a donkey to get a message through, you know, to a man. God isn't bound by our inadequacies. He loves them. He loves it when we know we have inadequacies, because then we know we have to trust completely on him and let him do it all. And that's when he can work through us the most, when we realize we're completely inadequate. And so he goes, good, now you're usable. Now I can do amazing things through you. And he will. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all these folks who are here today, and bless them. Keep them safe as they travel. Touch their hearts and fill them full of joy. Let them know how much you care for them. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful weather and the fall that we're coming into. And give us peace about all the turmoil that's going on in the world. And let us know that you are in control, and that is a blip. It's nothing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.